Imagine the life of Dashrath. When he announced that Rama will be crowned the next morning, what a tremendous happiness spread over the whole town. But in a small corner of the big palace, the queen herself, one of the queens, began to stir in an opposite manner and made a demand, the stark demand, that Rama should be exiled. And when the father, who was so much happy, his happiness had no bounds, he completely sank into torpor. So our satisfactions are besieged by physical pain and emotional suffering. To establish an infinite freedom in a world which presents itself as a group of mechanical necessities. Our life is a life of necessities. We are obliged to eat. It's a necessity, no? Minimum necessity is that we are obliged to sleep. We cannot be free from sleep. Even if you want to keep awake ever and ever and ever, you cannot. We are necessitated to sleep. We are necessitated to eat. We are necessitated to have physical movements. Necessitated to breathe. Our whole life is nothing but, if you don't agree with the theory of necessities, you can say, it is 9/10 of our life is a necessity. Maybe 1/10, we have some freedom of movement a little. I can decide whether I shall move this way my arm or I shall move this way my arm. This kind of freedom I certainly have. But otherwise, our life is full of necessities. And yet human being aspires for freedom. And what kind of freedom? Sri Aurobindo says, to establish an infinite freedom. Complete freedom of Shiva's dance. He could decide whether he will dance in one way or the other or other or other, or infinite ways of dancing. Or he will dance all the dances at the same time. Even that he has a freedom. Not only dance only one way at one time. At the same time he can dance in million ways. That freedom. And it is that freedom which is available on the other pole of our existence. To establish an infinite freedom in a world which presents itself as a group of mechanical necessities. And now the last term. That is, now we have God, light, bliss, freedom. Now the last term is immortality. To discover and realize the immortal life in a body subjected to death and constant mutation. Our life is subjected to death, or at least to change all the time. There to find immortal life, that too in a body. This is the sharp contrast between the state of immortality and the state of mortality. The one set of facts set against another set of facts, exactly opposite of each other. Thesis and antithesis. It is to bring about that light in these conditions, to live that divine life in a life which is animal, to establish that light in a state of darkness or half-awakeness or twilight consciousness. To establish that bliss where there is only a partial satisfaction besieged by physical pain and emotional suffering. It is this, as Sri Aurobindo says, this is offered to us as the manifestation of God in matter. and the goal of nature in a terrestrial evolution. Evolution, that is the important word. All this opposite has come about because of inconscience. Because of the inconscience, there is a gradual movement, and that gradual movement is what we call evolution. And if you want to see that this evolution moving forward, what is the goal, then this is what Sri Aurobindo says, this is offered to us as the manifestation of God in matter and the goal of nature in a terrestrial evolution. This is the definition of the divine life, which is the title of the whole book. What is the divine life? The divine life, the formula of the divine life is to know, possess and be the divine being. To convert into a plenary supramental illumination. To build peace and a self-existent bliss. To establish an infinite freedom and to realize the immortal life. These are the words which define the divine life, the life divine. The entire question of the book, the whole book, has three steps of its basic argument. I use the word argument because it's a philosophical book. It has three steps of the argument. It says first, it asserts that there is a human aspiration. This human aspiration wants divine life. All human beings, whether they like it or not, whether they want it or not, whether they are conscious of it or not, every human being is seeking divine life. This is Sri Aurobindo's affirmation. First argument. If you don't agree with it, then there is argument here. The whole book is an argument. If somebody says, no, human beings do not seek divine life at all, it's not true, then this book is meant to answer that question. Is it really true that human beings are seeking the divine life? Sri Aurobindo's answer is, that is the real human aspiration. And he has defined in clear terms. Very often, people who do not read this book quite nicely, they say, oh, Sri Aurobindo does not define terms. It's one of the criticisms made by many people. Because many people, when they write philosophical books, first of all, they start words, and then they define them. Then the people say that now this is called an accurate, philosophical, polished, exalted philosophical book. My answer is, please be patient. Sri Aurobindo defines every possible term in the life divine. Whenever you find this term is not defined, it's only your impatience. At the right time, every word is defined. And full definition and perfect definition. This I can tell you because I have been reading this book for the last 50 years. So I can say it is verified by me. And this I am telling you also, the divine life, the life divine is the title of the book, and Sri Aurobindo defines this term in the very second paragraph of the book. You don't have to wait more, because in the very first paragraph, Sri Aurobindo only puts a proposition that human beings have aspired for divine life. So by the time you finish the sentence, immediately Sri Aurobindo defines this term. So there is no delay at all. As soon as he finishes the first proposition, that human beings are full of aspiration for the divine life, the moment you finish the sentence, Sri Aurobindo defines this divine life. So this is the first step of the argument. What is the divine life? Define the divine life. And the statement that all human beings are in search of the divine life is the first argument, first step of the argument, which can be questioned And Sri Aurobindo allows this questioning, and a major part of the book is allowing this questioning and answering it. We shall see how he questions himself and how he answers it. The second argument, the second step of the life divine is to tell human beings that this aspiration is fully justified. That is to say, if you look at the whole world, if you look at all aspects of facts, take into account the totality. To pursue totality is a basic function of philosophy. You remember in the very beginning we have defined philosophy. Anandmayi will tell us in her definition, this word totality is a part of that. Is it there or not? Totality. If it is not, you have to change the definition. In your definition, you read again, in your definition, philosophy must deal with totality of facts of all domains. Right? What is the word you have used there in your definition?
Totality.
Read aloud, philosophy.
Quest for knowledge pertaining to all domains, including the quest for perfection, both individual and collective, which results in the formulation of an idea or ideas pertaining to the totality which includes all that we see and experience.
That's right. First of all domains and then totality. So Sri Aurobindo shows the totality of facts, that if you consider all the totality of facts, then even rationally, even you're using your reason, because reason is not something entirely to be thrown out. Reason has some great glories. And one of the glories of reason is it always demands from you totality. It's a great glory of reason. It may not be able to grasp all at once, but its tendency, its thirst, is towards totality. Therefore, even rationally, you entirely go step by step. If you don't see all the facts simultaneously, don't worry. Sri Aurobindo will show you domain after domain. The whole book is nothing but showing you the world domain after domain. That's why this book is a book of knowledge. All the domains. If you want totality of knowledge, open the life divine. If you want the knowledge in all its domains, Sri Aurobindo has given all the domains in the one sweep, as it were, in one book. All the domains are included. It's a very great speciality of this book. I have never seen a book in the world which deals with totality, with all the domains of existence, and gives you verifiable knowledge, not only belief, verifiable knowledge. Therefore, the reason can be completely satisfied. So, this is the second argument, second point of the argument. If you consider all the facts, then you will find, if you examine all the domains, you will find that this aspiration is justified. Sri Aurobindo says, do not fear to aspire for divine life. This is the assurance of the whole book. And finally, the third step of the argument is that if this is what we should aspire for, how shall we achieve it? How shall we realize it? How shall we fulfill it? The process by which you can fulfill it. The last portion of the life divine is entirely given to this task. How shall we fulfill? By what means this divine life can be realized? And this book, combined with Synthesis of Yoga, gives a complete answer to the third question. How shall we realize the divine life on the earth?